He's living on the edge himself. And God tells him to go and seek out a poor widow of Zarephath to provide for him. Now, this couldn't have been very encouraging because he's already living on the edge of life and death himself. And he's told to go and be provided by a poor widow with a son, mind you, also. And he is supposed to depend upon this poor person who has nothing. You think you've got issues in your life. You think you have problems. Listen to some of Elijah's problems. First of all, as I said, he's a wanted man. He's got the king as an enemy. The queen hates his guts. God has just told him to go deep into enemy territory and to seek out a poor Gentile woman for food who only has a handful of flour and a little jug of oil between her and death. And she's, oh, by the way, got a son as well. She might as well be down to her last can of Spam. But Elijah remembers how God provided for him in the desert, how the ravens came and cared for him. Elijah remembers that God provided for Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness with manna and quail. And he again now is depending upon God to provide for him again. It sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it, when Elijah says, go get me some water. Go get me some bread. It sounds kind of cruel. Here's a poor widow woman who is in the process of gathering together a few sticks to build a fire to bake a little teeny cake of bread for her son and her before they die. Their last supper, if you will. They're on the brink of extinction. They are on the brink of dying. And Elijah is telling them to bake him some bread. She has resigned herself to the inevitable. She knows that she's going to die. And so I think there's a message here for us today as well. I think a couple of things, actually. First of all, I see in this story God's promise that we'll never run out of Spam. That we'll never run out of Spam. Let me explain that. God will provide. God will provide for our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. Here is a poor widow who knew death was inevitable. She could see the writing on the wall, if you will. She knew that she was going to die. She had come to the end of herself. You know, sometimes people have to come to the end of themselves before they look up, before they turn to God. And when she put her faith in God's servant, Elijah, when she listened to his words and put her faith in his God, she surrendered to God. And in return, by sharing what she had with Elijah, God blessed her with a miracle. What was the miracle? The flour didn't run out. The oil didn't run out. There was more than enough to sustain them during this horrible famine and drought because she shared what little bit she had with someone else in need. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been faced with the inevitable? Now, I know that's a tough question to ask on a Sunday morning, but an example came to my mind as I was writing this, and I thought of a Monday morning going to work in Ocean City many years ago. Pat and I worked together in the same office, and we'd had an ice storm the night before, and some of the roads were not completely clear of ice that early Monday morning. We had skidded and lost traction a couple of times on our way on Coastal Highway in Ocean City. And we're sitting at a red light, which you had to start stopping about 100 yards before you got to the light. Well, in the opposite three lanes, we saw a car did not stop in time. And all we could see was this car spinning and spinning across three lanes of traffic headed directly for us. I told Pat, I said, hang on, honey, we're going to get hit. We could see it coming. But by the grace of God, it missed us by just a few feet. It was inevitable that car was going to hit us, we thought. Have you been faced with an inevitable situation? There are times in life when we have to come to the end of ourselves. What looks like the end, light at the end of the tunnel is, guess what? An oncoming train. We lose things. A family member dies. An illness strikes us. Our finances go down the toilet. At some point, we are driven to our knees and we just have to surrender, just like the widow of Zarephath. And if we ever get to this point, we just have to close our eyes, clear our heart, and let God be God, and trust that God will take care of us and that God knows best. I think Jesus was the best example of this that I could think of. You see, he saw the oncoming train of the political and religious institutions of his day. He knew his days were numbered, but he accepted it, and he surrendered to the finality that was about to happen to him, didn't he? And then one night, in an upper room, with his closest friends, his disciples, he says to them, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he says, "This is my blood, which is given for you." When the unthinkable becomes the inevitable, when you see the oncoming train of life, and when you comprehend the finality of events and all is lost, learn from the widow of Zarephath. Learn from Jesus. When you get to that point, surrender. We've got to surrender to God, to fall into the arms of God's loving care. God took care of Elijah. God took care of the widow. God took care of Jesus. And if you read further in this story, you find out this woman's son dies. And guess what? God raises the son back to life, just as he raised Jesus back to life. And God can raise you up from your circumstances too, by faith, by sharing what we have with one another. God can raise us up. Today is a reminder, my friends, that in God's economy, little is much when God is in it. God can take what little bit we have, even our little mustard seed faith, and can increase that faith and help us and save us. It's a reminder that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should never, ever, ever complain about what we don't have and be thankful for what we do have. Be grateful for what we have. And as the widow of Zarephath, be willing to share what we have with others. Even if it's just a can of Spam. Amen.